What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Welcome to the Wednesday show, everybody. So if you were drafting again today, let's say you were drafting today for the rest of the season, two rounds, how many quarterbacks would go in the first two rounds? For me, it's more than zero. For the other guys, it's probably zero or somehow less than zero. Welcome you to Fantasy Football Today. I am Adam Azer. We're also going to be previewing a pretty big game on Thursday night, the Broncos and the Chiefs. And we say hello to our contestants today. Let's bring in the Kansas City boy. Heath Cummings is here. A little Kansas music for you, Heath.
Big win for my Washington Nationals last night. Very happy that they are going to the World Series. So I'm just curious, and we'll get into this more later, but Patrick Mahomes has, by some accounts, been a little bit of a letdown this year, not a top three quarterback. Is there a different quarterback that you would take in the first two rounds? Are you taking like four quarterbacks in the first two rounds now?
I'm taking two quarterbacks in the first two rounds. Two quarterbacks.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought we were doing a one quarterback league redraft of the first two rounds. I did not know we were doing a super flex league. Super flex will be more fun.
They're not both for the same team. They happen to go with this in the first round. And you know, I can hear Ben Gretsch. Let's get Ben's intro music up. Ben, welcome to the show. You don't like two quarterbacks in the first two rounds.
Yeah, I'm baffled. I'm with Heath. Like, what has changed since the preseason? The only thing that has changed is we have a lot of busts at the top of running back and wide receiver,
which
make things are good more valuable. So I'm highly confused about this take.
Right. Well, by the way, this was the theme song to Gentle Ben, which was a TV show about a bear. So getting a little creative today with the theme music.
There was books.
Yeah,
there was books. I read those books as a kid.
Me too. But yeah, no, there have been some busts at running back and wide receiver, and some guys that I quite frankly didn't think I could justify using a second round pick on. But there are only two quarterbacks. Okay, so one of them is Mahomes. Find out who the other one is.
Two more than should be in the top 24 players in value the rest of the season.
I don't know. If you have these guys on your team, I'm actually not really with Mahomes. Like, I almost put Matt Ryan in there too. 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. Like, you know, maybe I will. Maybe I'll change my mind by the time we get to the segment. I wanted to give you a stat. Speaking of Mahomes, did you know that he has only two games remaining against teams that currently rank outside the top 10 in fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks? That'd be Minnesota and Oakland. So Minnesota's one of them. But his schedule, Denver's third against quarterbacks, Green Bay's seventh, Minnesota's 15th, Tennessee is eighth, the Chargers are ninth, the Patriots are first, the Broncos again, the Bears in week 16, the Chargers in week 17. Heath, what do you think about that schedule for Mahomes? Does that matter to you at all?
It brings up multiple interesting questions. One, how much does schedule actually matter for elite players? Two, is fantasy points per game the most predictive way of who will be good against positions or types of players moving forward? And three, are defenses that are good the first 6 weeks the defenses that will be good the last 10 weeks? For the most part, my answer is no, I don't care that much.
Yeah. And I don't either, since I have him as a second round pick.
All right. Well, I just thought it was kind of interesting. Last year, Patrick Mahomes did face a bunch of teams that were in the top 10 in fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, and he actually didn't do quite as well as you might think. Could tell you in just a moment how he did in those games.
I mean, he was fine. He had a little bit of a down game against Jacksonville last year,
I'll tell you, he obviously was. So he had
5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns.
He did. He had 7 matchups against top 10 opponents last year. Teams that finished the season giving up, the 10th or fewer amount of points to quarterbacks. He scored 21 or more fantasy points in 6 of 7 games. So that's a good floor. But he scored more than 25 fantasy points in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues only twice. And one of them was week 1. So he was typically between 21 and 25 fantasy points, which is not what you drafted Mahomes for. So just tossing that out there.
I mean, there's also a little bit of double counting there where teams that finish in the top, like any team that Mahomes skewered didn't end up finishing in the top 10 probably because he had so many monster games that really threw a lot of those defensive stats out of whack. You'd have to pull out Mahomes' stats to really break that stat down. I think it's mostly noise. And I agree with Heath about the rest of the season schedule. There's some players that you should be concerned about with schedule and matchup. A guy like Patrick Mahomes in an offense like the Chiefs, you just call them matchup proof. I mean, maybe he won't be as efficient, but he'll get plenty of volume, plenty of opportunities to throw it around, and they'll be fine. I mean, they'll put up points.
Okay, so we'll talk about Mahomes and his matchup against the Broncos in just a little bit. Some new fantasy vocab. So, Ben, we know what the red zone is. The red zone is once you get to the 20-yard line. You call the 10-yard line the green zone, right?
Yeah, just a quicker way of saying inside the 10, yeah. Which
I agree.
The touches from the 11 to the 20 are not actually that valuable or a lot different than touches from the 1 to the 10 or even the 1 to the 5. So we talk about red zone touches, especially rush attempts, talk about red zone rush attempts. And those stats can get skewed a little bit as well when we're talking about the carries that are at the 15-yard line compared to the ones that are at the 5-yard line. That's a huge difference. So I like to focus on the green zone. It's a pretty big difference to just focus in on the single digit yard lines.
Yeah.
I would like to propose that carries inside the 5 now be called the gold zone.
No. Oh God. And the magenta. The magenta
anything
zone.
Anything outside of the 20 be referred to as the gray zone.
You know what? The gold zone is better, but I was going to propose the magenta zone for.
No, it's the gold zone, the gold zone, the green zone, the red zone.
Fine.
The red zone should be outside the 20 because those aren't that great.
Magenta is just like a very nice color. I just thought it would be a nice thing to say. Fine. The gold zone wins. Let's do buy low.
What about the lavender zone?
Oh, that's terrible. What are you talking about, gentle Ben? All right, buy low, sell high.
I mean, green is like money. Gold is like first place, and you're over here saying magenta. I'm just not following the magenta.
Yeah, that, I guess that's sort of the point. Who are we buying low on, Ben? What do you think?
Oh, who was on my buy low?
Le'Veon Bell.
That was a Jamie move.
Yeah. Oh, Le'Veon Bell. Absolutely. Only had one catch last week. But Sam Darnold's back. Scored his first touchdown since week 1. Got both of the green zone touches. He's the first. No Jets running back has had a green zone touch since Sam Darnold played in week 1. Their offense has been horrible, and offensive production leads to those high value running back touches. You got to get the ball down in there, right? So Le'Veon Bell got a short touchdown run this week. He got all their green zone touches this week. He had all their green zone touches back in week 1. Or no, Ty Montgomery did have a green zone touch this week. But Bell's playing a massive snap share. Has 4 of the 5 green zone touches on the year. Tons of receiving work. Only had 1 reception last week. He did have 9 back in week 1 when Darnold started last time. Darnold's going to improve the offense as a whole. Bell's going to have a massive receiving role. He's going to get those scoring opportunities now. He's been inefficient from a yards perspective as well. But having a good quarterback in there will help him there. I think he's a top 5 running back the rest of the way, and I don't necessarily think you have to pay that right now.
My only question with that argument, I definitely think Le'Veon Bell is a good buy low, so I'm not disagreeing with Ben, but we talked about this on FFT yesterday, and I just don't know. Sam Darnold better than Luke Falk? Absolutely. No question. I don't know that Sam Darnold is good. We just, like, this was a good performance against the Dallas Cowboys. Outstanding performance, in fact. But it was one of, 17 games that we've seen him play now. And about 4 of those games, he has looked like a really good quarterback.
Why was such a you judge people so harshly on their rookie seasons? I mean, haven't we learned anything about rookie seasons? They mean almost nothing. I mean, Jared
Goff. Okay, so one of two games this year.
Yeah, he played arguably the toughest defense in football in week one. One of the five toughest defenses in week one. He was already dealing with the effects of mono. Does it matter? Does he have to be that good? Luke Falk was it?
Right.
Falk was
that's what I was going to say.
Luke Falk was terrible.
It doesn't matter. Le'Veon Bell is playing almost 100% of the snaps. He's running a ton of routes and seeing a ton of targets. And he's going to get all of their green zone work as their primary running back. It doesn't matter. Darnold doesn't have to be
Wait. It doesn't matter for Le'Veon Bell being a number one running back. No.
He just has to
agree with that. It matters for him being a top five running back.
That's going to be a tough group to crack when you talk about top five running backs. I mean, as we'll see when we reveal our top 24. I think you guys are more or less on the same page. Ben's a little bit higher. And the gold zone touches should go to Le'Veon Bell as well. The magenta zone touches. Let's stay with Ben and his buy lows, because you still want to buy low on the Broncos running backs. And I still want to know why. Like, they need to get one of them. If one of them gets hurt, you're talking about a total stud.
Well, that's why. I mean, so they're averaging 4.7 and 4.3 high value touches per week. Joe Flacco would actually be the player that I would point to say that Sam Darnold doesn't need to be that valuable, because if Le'Veon Bell was in the Broncos offense right now and getting all the work, which these guys are not getting all the work, but he would be a top five running back right now. The offense is good enough with the Broncos that they're getting into scoring position. They're getting green zone touches every week. Phillip Lindsay has been getting a lot of those and scoring a lot of touchdowns. Royce Freeman's running more routes and catching more passes. So Lindsay is actually the more valuable right now. I probably would be buying low on Freeman. The point is, if either of them does miss time, their combined workload right now is like equivalent of Christian McCaffrey in terms of high value touches per game. Joe Flacco, I think he threw 8 targets to the position last week. He's throwing to the running backs an insane amount. If either of these guys starts to play like a 75% or 80% snap share in this offense, it's going to be phenomenal.
Okay. But I just don't agree with the philosophy. I only if you have a roster spot to play with, then, you know, you get Royce Freeman, who has, you know, been okay in non-PPR.
Start them both this week.
Well, yeah, but yeah. I'm just saying, like, you got a guy that's, if you trade for Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay doesn't get hurt, you're not, like, that's a waste of a player pretty much. I mean, he is.
No, not
best,
if.
Yes. What?
If you trade for him as a bench player, you're getting a starting flex.
Yeah, I guess.
And also,
but that is really lowering the bar for your flex, though. Like, he is.
Okay,
there are so many wide receivers you're going to want to start
scoring,
over
what,
him.
10 PPR fantasy points a week, that's basically an almost number two running back.
That's not... So, you know what? I actually broke that down. I'll tell you what.
And it almost is. I read your breakdown before I said it.
Oh,
can
good.
Can I just do a little bit of a rant real quick
not
about
really,
running
by
backs?
The way,
and how,
yes, go
running
ahead,
backs on your bench, you want to be targeting upside. You want to... Like, we don't know what's going to happen at running back, but we do know there's a lot of turnover all the time. Look at... Like, we just had John Hilleman as a starting running back last week. What, like, we don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, maybe these guys might not get hurt, but instead of like throwing our hands up about who might get injured and what percentage chance a guy will get into a feature role, as long as there's a reasonable opportunity for that to happen, and there is in Denver, if all it takes is one of these two missing a game, I wouldn't put the odds that both of them playing 16 games is better than 50-50. It's running backs just don't stay healthy. As long as there's a reasonable chance, what you really should be looking at for those bench stashes, and this is the reason that you can grab Freeman, and he might end up being a wasted roster spot, but it's upside. What is the potential payoff? It's like taking a 25-1 futures bet over a 5-1 favorite when you think they have a reasonable side. Like, we want the one that can really hit for a big payoff.
Okay.
But we know that they're low risk.
I gotcha. All right. So to be a top 24, let's go over some numbers here. The average so far through 6 weeks, and this is not decimal scoring, by the way, to be
Which is bad.
Top 12 running back in non-PPR, you're looking at 14 fantasy points. That's what the number 12 running back has averaged in PPR in 6 weeks, 14 fantasy points, non-PPR. Number 24 running back has averaged 8.8 points per game in non-PPR. In PPR, it goes, basically you just add 2.5. You go from 14 points as top 12 to 16.5, and you go from 8.8 to 11.3. So I thought that was actually pretty interesting. 2.5 catches per game is what we're adding. But that's what you're looking at if you want. You want, is my running back averaging basically what a top 12 running back is averaging? Is he giving you 14 points in non-PPR and 16.5 in full PPR? And then is he a number two running back? Is he a top 24 running back? That's 8.8 points per game in non-PPR and 11.3 in PPR. All right, Heath, we've waited long enough. Let's hear your buy lows.
A couple of NFC North, actually Monday Night Football players, TJ Hockenson and Aaron Jones. And I don't like, it's disappointing that Aaron Jones' 4-touchdown game did not earn him a feature role in Green Bay. He also doesn't look like he deserves a feature role because Jamal Williams is playing really well. But at least for the short term, I expect this to be a situation where, again, you can start both Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. They don't have enough wide receivers to throw it to. They had 33 combined touches in their most recent game against the Lions. They get the Raiders this week. And I still think that Aaron Jones is more talented than Jamal Williams. So if we're going to start every game with this, they're going 50-50 until someone gets hot. I expect Jones to get hot more often than Williams. I still think he's going to be a high-end number two running back for the rest of the year. And after people just saw Williams get more touches in that game and outperform him, I think it's possible you could buy him for less than that. And then Hockenson, I love the opportunity he's getting. It's disappointing that he didn't score. It's disappointing that he has so many almost touchdowns, but 6 targets again in that game. Basically what we've seen is when the Lions have to throw, Hockenson's going to be involved. When they throw in the red zone, green zone, red zone, gold zone, he's going to be very involved. And I want that on my team moving forward.
All right, so we have to do a better job. I've gotten some listener feedback. We have to do a better job when we say, you know, buy low on this guy. What would we give up? So what would you give up for Aaron Jones? Would you give up Philip Lindsay for Aaron Jones?
That's so weird. Like, I don't, that's so the other
like
thing.
The
I don't,
player.
People are traded. People aren't trading the exact same type of running back for, that's, I understand we've received that feedback. It's not right, helpful because people don't have.
Would you trade Terry McLaurin for him?
Yes.
Okay. Would you trade Cortland Sutton for Aaron Jones?
Yes.
All right. Good. That's what I needed to know. You got to watch CBS Sports HQ on demand. Download the CBS Sports HQ app. Watch it on your Roku, on your Apple TV, any connected device, or go to CBSSportsHQ.com if you want to just check it out. It's awesome. 24/7 sports coverage and a lot of fantasy talk on there, including Fantasy Football Today, noon Eastern. Monday through Friday, and then 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. If you miss the noon Eastern show, you can catch it on demand on HQ. We got another podcast popping right now. It's called Nothing Personal with David Sampson. David Sampson is an extremely talented, very funny, very honest guy that we've been working with. He's the former president of the Miami Marlins. And if you want a fresh perspective on what's really happening in sports, check out this daily podcast, Nothing Personal with David Sampson. So he'll tell you what's going on behind the scenes when owners make a statement, when a coach tells a lie, when a star gets traded, and much, much more. He's won a World Series, has lost 100 games, and done everything in between. And we're going to give you this daily podcast. It's going to be there for you for your afternoon commute. So again, it's Monday through Friday, by the way. It's called Nothing Personal with David Sampson. All right, I'm going to have to hurry you up here so we can get to our draft and preview our game and read some Apple Podcast questions and some fill in the blank. But Ben, who are you selling high on right now?
I threw Austin Hooper in there. I don't know if we've talked about him in recent weeks, but he's been on a great run. Obviously, just had a really good matchup with Arizona. Essentially, I just think he's going to be like a tight end 6 to tight end 8 type guy the rest of the season. I don't think he's suddenly an elite tier tight end, and he is the tight end 1 right now. So if you can get really good value out of him, I'd probably sell him. I mean, the other one is probably kind of the similar situation. I would be fine selling on Chris Godwin if you have receiver depth. I know everyone thinks he is a complete world beater. He had over 100 yards in just the fourth quarter last week at like a 9.2, I think it was, ADOT, while Jameis Winston broke or set the highest amount of air yards mark in a single game by any quarterback this season, meaning he was chucking the ball down the field a ton while they were chasing, while they were coming back. Most of those were to Evans, and then he was throwing underneath with this 9.2 ADOT to Chris Godwin. I mean, it tells this perfect story that it was all garbage time, and he was throwing underneath. Godwin probably will have more opportunities to rack up stats like that. He's done it a couple of different times this year. I just think he's like, he almost had a bad game this week, and he is probably going to have some going forward, and people think he's just an absolutely elite receiver. I don't necessarily buy that yet.
Okay, so who would you get for God? Like, who
is
so
Le'Veon Bell is one that I think is really interesting. I think you could try to trade Chris Godwin for Le'Veon Bell, and I would do that.
By the way, I just realized that I left Le'Veon Bell out of my top 24, and that's going to have to change. We're going to throw him in there somewhere. All right, Heath, who are you selling high on?
I will sell high on Devontae Freeman still. He took advantage of a great matchup, but I don't believe in this run offense. I don't believe in the offensive line. I don't believe in the Falcons' defense, and the matchups get more difficult for Freeman moving forward. He's looked the last couple of weeks like he might be a borderline number one running back. I still think he's a low-end number two, and I would still sell high on the Minnesota Vikings wide receivers. Both Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs have half of their games with seven or more targets, half of their games with six or fewer targets. In fact, Diggs is four or fewer. I think they're going to be up and down and up and down, and I would like to get rid of them when they're up.
Okay, and I still think I'd like to see what I can get for Kenny Golladay. He's having a great year. If you look at the game he just had against the Packers, five catches, 121 yards. He had a 66-yard catch on a flea flicker. And then Kevin King really covered him very well for the rest of the game. And why am I selling on Golladay? Because he's going to see Minnesota twice. He's going to see the Bears twice. He's going to see Dallas once. And week 16, he's at Denver. And they have just been unbelievable against some of the best wide receivers in football. So I like Kenny Golladay, but I don't love Kenny Golladay, and I would try to get, you know, I would try to get Hopkins, Beckham, Julio, try to buy low on those struggling wide receivers. On a struggling running back, I would certainly offer Golladay for Le'Veon Bell, that kind of stuff. Again, this is not Kenny Golladay stinks, because he does have some really good matchups coming up. This is, I think, there are some really good cornerbacks he's going to face. I gotta be honest with you, like, Minnesota needs to start shutting down wide receivers. I think it's going to happen beginning this week, but it hasn't really happened all that much just yet. I mean, just look at Alshon Jeffrey last week. All right, guys, hiring can be a challenge, as Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner discovered. Gretchen needed to hire a game artist for her education tech company. She knew it wouldn't be easy to find someone to grow with her team, and that's why she went to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job, so you get qualified candidates fast. Gretchen posted her job on ZipRecruiter and said she was impressed with how quickly she found qualified applicants. She also used ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter her candidates so she could focus on the best ones. And that's how Gretchen found a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. And with results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So, ladies and gentlemen, you need to hire someone, you need to use ZipRecruiter. See why it's effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address, ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. That is ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/FFT. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. News and notes, Ryan Tannehill starting for Tennessee. Did that motivate you, Heath, to add any Titans wide receiver?
It made me want to give up on the Titans wide receivers. This is a terrible decision.
Okay. Ron Rivera did not confirm that Cam Newton's going to practice next week. They have a bye this week. We'll have to see what happens there. Alvin Kamara is dealing with some sort of high ankle issue. Latavius Murray, I got to look up his updated ownership percentage. I had him at 57%, but I think that was yesterday. I bet he's about 75%. He is 60%. Go get Latavius Murray, huh? And so Ben, Latavius Murray and Daryl Henderson, because Malcolm Brown is also dealing with an injury. Do you think these guys are must-owns right now, Latavius Murray and Daryl Henderson?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think they're both great examples of the high upside that we're talking about. Good offenses that will create targets for the running backs and high value touches for the running backs, especially when the Saints get Drew Brees back. So, yeah, I mean, that's the upside. If these guys get the opportunity to actually play significant snaps, in Henderson's case, Murray is already kind of, you know, at least playing some. But Henderson, I'm really hoping we'll actually get a shot to play some significant snaps the rest of the way. He looked really good on Sunday.
Look, he might be the guy for the Rams this week, and they're facing Atlanta on the road, and then they have Cincinnati. If you aren't as excited about Latavius Murray, I get that. He's at the Bears this week, but they just lost their best defensive tackle, Akeem Hicks, for the season. And Josh Jacobs had a pretty good game against the Bears 2 weeks ago without Akeem Hicks when Hicks got hurt. Other news, Chris Thompson has turf toe. We've seen what that's done to Davante Adams. Denver's optimistic about Emmanuel Sanders this week, and same with Sammy Watkins for Kansas City. They both have a chance to play. N'Keal Harry practiced. He can return in week 9. Patriots rookie first-round pick, wide receiver. Saints cornerback P.J. Williams is suspended 2 games. He's their slot corner. Their next 2 games are the Bears on the road and the Cardinals at home. Baltimore acquired Marcus Peters from the Rams, and the Rams acquired Jalen Ramsey. Heath, what is the fantasy impact of the Rams basically not having any draft capital for the next decade and getting Jalen Ramsey and the Ravens getting Marcus Peters at that?
The Rams defense remains more interesting for fantasy purposes. It'll be interesting to see if Ramsey plays this week and if they use him the way he wants to be used. They've not really played the type of defense that Jalen Ramsey wants to be a part of so far this year, but I would assume because they traded for him, they're going to put him in man coverage and have him trail someone. That might be Julio this week. That might be really good news for Calvin Ridley and Mohamed Sanu because the rest of their corners are bad.
They basically traded, in a sense, Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters for Jalen Ramsey. So it's hard to know how much better, if they got better at all, because Talib's on IR.
I think if they're playing man coverage, like one of the things, Ramsey has been outwardly outspoken about really disliking playing zone coverage. And that's a lot of what they've played so far this year. If they're going back to bump and run man, Jalen Ramsey is worlds better in that defense than Talib or Peters in the defense they were playing.
I understand, but they've lost 2 cornerbacks.
That's why I'm saying it's very good for Sanu and Ridley.
Yeah, right. All right, I'm ready to draft. Let's do it. Let's redraft the first 2 rounds. I gave you half PPR, 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. I thought this was difficult after the first 4 picks, to be quite honest with you, because I struggle a little bit with Kamara just because of the ankle injury. So who wants the first pick? I'll take the first pick since it's the easiest one.
Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
I already took it. It's already done.
Dalvin Cook.
Okay. That's what I had too. So McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook. We're sure about Dalvin Cook number 2 overall? That's what I had as well.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going Ezekiel Elliott 3rd. He has 5 touchdowns in 6 games. He scored 6 rushing touchdowns last year. He has 5 or more catches in 2 of his last 3 games, so I'm happy about that, but he's just so safe. So McCaffrey, Cook, Zeke is off the board. Ben, you have the 4th pick.
I'm going to take Saquon Barkley, who I'm assuming will be playing in the next week or two.
Yeah, that's what I had too. And his fantasy playoffs, weeks 14, 15, 16, at Philadelphia, that stinks. He's matchup proof, but Miami in week 15 at Washington in week 16 for Barkley. Heath, 4 running backs are off the board. Who's the 5th pick in the draft?
This is really tough, but I am a little bit concerned about the high. This is like where it gets difficult. There is a different running back besides Le'Veon Bell, who I think will be a top 5 running back the rest of the season and has been a little bit unlucky because he's only scored 1 touchdown. I believe he's 2nd in touches behind only Christian McCaffrey, and his name is Leonard Fournette.
Ah, okay. I had him 11th, but I think pretty interchangeable here. Ben, who would have been 5th for you?
Probably Bell.
Okay.
Bell or Kamara. I mean, Kamara's hard not knowing his injury status. It is tough here. I mean, Chubb isn't in play, but I wouldn't take him there because of Kareem Hunt. And I think David Johnson is the other name. Fournette's a reasonable pick, too.
I think Chris Carson is definitely in play here as well. He's been involved in the passing game and 20 carries. I mean, he and Fournette are both getting like 20 carries, I think, 3 weeks in a row. All right, so who was the pick? Leonard Fournette was the pick. He's the 5th pick. 6th pick, I will take, I can't believe he's my number 1 wide receiver, but I will take Michael Thomas, just getting all the targets for that team. He doesn't have to deal with I hate it. If Davante Adams were healthy, I would have taken him, but
he'd be my number 1 wide receiver for sure. Like there was a group of wide receivers that we viewed as pretty similarly, especially in PPR, and he's really the only one who has done what we expected.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think, you could say Tyreek Hill has, but it's only been 1 game.
Sure.
But yeah, I had to go with Michael Thomas, but maybe I should.
Julio Jones hasn't been bad.
No.
No.
But he's like I actually am a little bit more concerned about Julio Jones than his overall stats would suggest that you would be, just because they have spread the ball around so much more, and it's now 6 weeks into the season. He's got a 20% target share.
Yeah, they are throwing it on too.
I'll say that can I take the pick back and take a running back instead?
No.
All right, fine. Nope. Michael Thomas is off the board. Ben, you have the 7th pick.
I mean, it's funny because I said Le'Veon Bell is going to be a top 5 running back rest of the season. I think I would actually take Alvin Kamara here over Bell. I still think Bell could be a top 5 running back the rest of the season. I'm kind of factoring in that there's probably going to be some injuries. I mean, not all of these guys are going to play
right.
All the games.
Okay, so we go McCaffrey, Cook, Zeke, Barkley, Fournette, Michael Thomas, Kamara, and Heath, you're up.
Yeah, it's three-headed monster here for me, choosing between Chubb, Le'Veon, and David Johnson. It's half PPR?
Yeah.
I think Kareem Hunt and just the uncertainty around that knocks Chubb out of it for me still. I'll go with David Johnson.
Okay, so then I think I'm going to take Nick Chubb here. Nick Chubb is the pick at 9 overall. McCaffrey, Cook, I'll recap the first round. Okay, so Chubb is off the board. You took David Johnson.
Bell.
He's off the board. Le'Veon Bell is the 10th pick. He's off the board. Heath, you're up.
This is the point. Like, I took Julio Jones in a lot of drafts over the summer, and it's not felt great so far, but I'm going right back to it. I will take Julio Jones.
Okay. And we will finish the first round with my pick of Chris Carson. Do you think Chris Carson's a top 12 pick? I mean, I think he's right up there with Chubb and Johnson and Bell and all these. Like, he's getting a ton of work and scoring touchdowns and whatnot.
He's the last running back I would take in the top 2 rounds, I'll say. There's not. So I think running back is really interesting at this point in the season because there's guys that are clear hits that are worth trading for and paying, you know, big value for. They're really good. They have really strong workloads. And then there's a lot of guys that are just like, you know, I don't know if that guy's ever really going to have a big ceiling. So, you know, it's funny. I got asked who by my brother who I would trade Stephon Diggs high for if I could try and sell him high for a running back. And I was like, well, there's a lot of running backs that I don't know I would sell down to Stephon Diggs. And then there's probably a lot that you can't get with Stephon Diggs because there's like this gap between the elites and the next tier.
I got to say this, though. I'm just seeing it now. This is the one thing I didn't do in this exercise is analyze schedules. Here's what Chris Carson has coming up. Baltimore, we know how great their run defense is when they've got Brandon Williams. At Atlanta should be good. And then how about this? Tampa Bay, at San Francisco, a bye, at Philadelphia and Minnesota. So that is 5 weeks in a row with a top 6 defense against fantasy running backs or a bye for Chris Carson. And while I do still really like him, and if he gets 20 carries a game, it probably won't matter. You might have to downgrade him a little bit with that schedule. But I already took him, so we'll leave him there at 12. First round was McCaffrey, Cook, Zeke, Barkley, Fournette, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, David Johnson, Nick Chubb, Le'Veon Bell, Julio Jones, Chris Carson. And Ben, you can kick off round 2.
And actually, I lied because there is one running back, maybe 2 actually, that I missed here. But I still think there's a pretty big gap. But I would also put Kerryon Johnson in this Chris Carson group. So he would be my pick here.
Okay.
I was really hoping Ben was going to take DeAndre Hopkins because I would like to take a wide receiver and I don't want to take DeAndre Hopkins. And I don't want to say that I would take another wide receiver over DeAndre Hopkins. And so I'm going to take Travis Kelce.
Okay. you know, you took Kerryon Johnson over James Conner, Marlon Mack, Melvin Gordon.
Connor's the other running back I was saying that, yeah. I think is still in this range. I don't like the other guys.
I'm gonna piss you guys off and take my second ranked wide receiver rest of season. I know you're gonna disagree with it. I'm gonna take Chris Godwin. I'm buying it. I'm in on Chris Godwin.
The thing that I was struggling with was Godwin, Cooper Kupp, and DeAndre Hopkins. And I actually think I prefer Kupp to Godwin, but
you guys are really talking about Kupp and Godwin over like Tyreek Hill?
That's who it should have been.
I have Godwin. I had Godwin second, then I had Julio Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp. Those are the rest of my wide receivers.
My pick now, after you just took Godwin, right? I'm taking Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
That's the right pick.
Tyreek Hill. So, Heath, if you could do it again, would you take Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce?
I would still take Kelce. I think the fact that he hasn't scored enough touchdowns yet is driving people crazy, but he is on pace for another elite season, and tight end is even worse than we were afraid it was going to be. He is absolutely worth an early second-round pick.
All right, we're up to pick 17, so that's you, Heath. Who do you got? Hopkins is still on the board.
I'm going to take James Conner.
James Conner. All right, Hopkins is still on. Hopkins is about to be off the board. I'm going to take DeAndre Hopkins. I think he's ready to bounce back. 18th overall. Wow, he has fallen like a full round. 19th overall, Chris. Ben, sorry, go ahead.
I mean, and I just want to say, Hopkins still very valuable, and I agree with you, Adam, that he fell, but I think a lot of what we're doing here is positional value, too, and we just talked about this. There's not a lot of running backs you can trust. There are a lot of other receivers that you can get, so it's a little different doing this in season now that we know all the workloads and everything. Receivers should be falling a little bit. There's no real, like, zero RB strategy when you actually know the running backs that have the massive value, so... I'm gonna go. We didn't take Julio Jones yet, did we?
Yes,
I did.
Okay,
he was 11.
This is.
Beckham is still there. Beckham's still there, and then you guys were talking about Cooper Kupp. Don't think I would take. I'm gonna take Mike Evans.
Oh,
who wow. I think he's actually leading the NFL in air yards and air yards per game. They're chucking the ball around. He hasn't been super efficient. Everyone thinks Chris Godwin's better than him now. The volume is massive. I still think he's going to be very good.
I think this is a good question, because how do you factor in, because efficiency does matter to some level. Mm-hmm. And for most of his career, not last year, but for most of his career, I think Mike Evans is what you would call an inefficient wide receiver. He doesn't catch a very high percentage of his passes, and he doesn't generally contribute hardly anything after the catch. So his air yards are less valuable than an average receiver's air yards, right?
They are, but he's led the league. He's leading the league now, and he's been at the top of the league for like five straight years. So, yes, he's been inefficient, but he also has this really long track record of massive downfield volume. And if you actually like go back and look at some of the examples, last week against the Panthers, he dropped that pass right before the half that was like a 40, 50-yard completion, might have been a 70-yard touchdown. Go back to, I think it was week two, he dropped the pass in the end zone where he was kind of diving. Right, he does that. He's going to do that, but those opportunities are there, and he's still been, what is he, like wide receiver six? Like, he's still been very good.
I don't think so.
With those missed opportunities.
I think he's wide receiver. I think he's exactly where we drafted. I think he's wide receiver eight.
Oh, wow. I can't believe
he's
that high.
The inefficiency doesn't bug me, and I'm also factoring in that he was sick for week one, and then they played on a short week two, and he still wasn't probably right, and he had two bad games to start the season. I think his upside is still very, very high. I don't like watching those plays for my fantasy points, but I still think the points are there.
I think he is a very good example. Like, there's this struggle between opportunity and air yards, and it matters so much more than what was accounted for two or three or especially 5 years ago. But it also, like, there is still the efficiency part of it, and that – for a guy like Evans, who we've seen it for like 5 out of 6 years now, I just feel like you have to factor that in as well. And I think it's interesting. I'll take Cooper Kupp.
I totally agree with that.
Right.
You have to factor it in. But also in those 5 out of 6 years, he's been very good at fantasy, right?
Yeah. I'll take Cooper Kupp. If you look just take what he's done since the start of last year. And it's a 97, 12, 43, 11 pace. That includes one game where he got one target and left the game. That includes another game where he left at halftime because he was injured. He has been awesome and their number one wide receiver since the start of last year. I don't know if you know this, but he roomed with Jared Goff. They've got a really good connection. And I'm buying in.
Yeah, and, you know, I had him 15th overall, so Heath took him 20th, Cooper Kupp. And, you know, Cooper Kupp's been somebody that I've been targeting on FanDuel because I think he is not priced as an elite receiver, but with Jared Goff, you know, he is basically an elite receiver. He's very close to it, and he just ended a streak of four straight 100-yard games. But back on to FanDuel. We'll see. Maybe we'll get him back in the lineup because they have a great matchup this week. Heath mentioned it on Sunday. Maybe Jared Goff is a little underowned in FanDuel leagues, and we'll try to, you know, play off that and use him as a contrarian play. But you should be on FanDuel right now. You should be signing up and getting $20 in total bonus when you sign up and make a deposit of $20. So you'll get an extra $5 in site credit every week for 4 weeks if you go to FanDuel.com/FFT. Or just download the FanDuel app, but go to FanDuel.com/FFT to get that bonus. You get a new team every week, as many teams as you want. You want to play for a buck, play for five, play for 10, 20, it goes on. You can do whatever type of league you're comfortable playing in. And, you know, I think if you listen to this podcast, you got a very good chance to do well on FanDuel, and you can listen to our advice as well. Again, FanDuel.com/FFT, make a $20 deposit and get an extra $5 in site credit every week for 4 weeks. FanDuel.com/FFT. The final four picks of this draft after Cooper Kupp. Lamar Jackson is my pick. Lamar Jackson, ladies and gentlemen.
Over Mahomes?
Wow.
Yeah, over Mahomes.
I thought you said this was 6 points per pass touchdown.
I did. Yeah, Lamar Jackson over Mahomes. And over Russell Wilson, who's the number one quarterback in that format anyway.
Well, you know, we get a lot of flack in the preseason for our drafts not being representative of what real fantasy drafts are like, because we don't have anybody in our league that reaches on quarterback and makes silly decisions like this. And so I think it's good of you, Adam. I think you should just be that guy from now on that takes a quarterback in the first two rounds to make our drafts more representative of real drafts.
There's only one player left that was viewed, I think, as a total star. James Conner's off the board, right?
Did you just, like, not even respond to that? I kind of wanted a response. You just said he's happy that you're the village idiot.
What I'm saying is there's only one player on the board that was looked at as, like, a total stud that I could think of, and that was, well, Mahomes and Beckham. Beckham is the guy I was thinking of. And I'm fine taking Jackson over Beckham. Melvin Gordon, I don't think you can justify it right now with the way he's played. So I don't think there's an obvious guy to take over Lamar Jackson, and that's why I took Lamar Jackson.
I don't disagree that there's not a lot of other options, but you still should be going to that next tier at other, in my opinion, to that next tier at other positions. Keenan Allen, I think, is right there. I'm going to take a guy, George Kittle, that I think is essentially a late second, early third round value. It's a little bit of a reach. Already had his bye. So that's a big reason that I like trying to trade for him right now. He's already had his bye. He's had two touchdowns called back, and he's been very consistent, clearly been their number one passing option. I think he's going to be a top three tight end the rest of the way, and definitely worth close to where he was drafted in preseason still.
Actually, it's a good pick. I mean, he is their number one receiver for sure. I just think tight end's a little deeper than we thought, although the Disley injury changes that a bit. Okay, two more picks. Heath, who's 23rd?
Like, I feel I've got one pick left, and I feel like there's one guy that we're going to be getting emails and saying, I can't believe you forgot to draft this guy. And I've just been searching through, like, the injured list, trying to figure out who it is. I've failed in that mission. So I'm going to settle for a second tier, third tier wide receiver that I'm just hoping bounces back. Maybe they'll trade for Beckham? Eli Manning so he can have a quarterback. Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham it is.
Remember the whole thing of, man, how much better is Odell Beckham going to be now that he has a good quarterback?
And I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes, 24th. That's my second quarterback. And guys who just missed the cut, I'm sure, you know, Keenan Allen, Adam Thielen, Julian Edelman.
Keenan Allen should have gone. Keenan Allen was a second-round pick and was an absolute stud in the first few weeks of the year, and then he had a couple down games, and we're drafting him later than where he was in the preseason.
Not much later. He might be the next pick. I think Marlon Mack deserves some consideration here. I think still think Melvin Gordon does, and, you know, okay, that's it.
Devontae Adams.
Adams.
Oh, wow. That's a big miss on my part. I should take Devontae
Adams.
I
don't think you'd take him in the first 24 picks. He's going to be out for a little while longer.
You think so? Because, all right, okay.
I mean, Keenan Allen's been better on a per-game basis than him and is currently healthy, so he should probably go before Devontae Adams.
Right.
Yeah, all right.
The health is a big one.
So we got this big game to preview, and then we'll do fill-in-the-blank. We'll read your Apple Podcast questions. We'll finish up our show. Let's take a quick break on fantasy football today. When we come back, Chiefs and Broncos. We'll be right back.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Kansas City at Denver. Is our resident Chiefs fan a little nervous about this game? Heath, that's you.
I am an objective analyst that is not a fan of any team.
Well,
this is going to be a fun game for me because in our telethon league, I have arguably the best team in the league. I'm 4-2 and the second highest scoring team. I'm facing Dave, who's 5-1. I have Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, ooh, Royce Freeman, and Philip Lindsay.
Wow. I don't know.
Game stack.
I don't think it's a great week to have a bunch of Chiefs. Let's start with the Chiefs. Since Tyreek Hill's first game against Denver, he caught a touchdown in that game. He has not had more than 70 yards or a touchdown in his last four games against the Broncos. They have shut down Allen Robinson, Devontae Adams, DJ Chark, and Keenan Allen, although Chark had a touchdown called back. None of those guys scored double-digit fantasy points in PPR. Mahomes scored 24 fantasy points in six-point-per-passing touchdown leagues at Denver last season. He was much better at home against Denver. Denver right now is looking like a very good defense, and they're coming around. I guess the jury's still out because they haven't had the toughest competition, but they held Aaron Rodgers to 15 fantasy points. For what that's worth. All right, so is it all systems go for the Chiefs, at least for the big three on the Chiefs?
The big three is no question, and it never is. Sammy Watkins is a mid-range flex. The running backs are the real problem.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Ben, what's your take on Damian Williams, LeSean McCoy at Denver? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a tough situation to handicap, but Darrell Williams came in as their second running back last week and immediately caught a 52-yard reception and then didn't play much the rest of the game. He got another target on the next drive. He played 7 snaps total. It's like Andy Reid had him in there 15-play, script to start the game a little bit, but once that script ran out, they went back to their McCoy and Damian Williams two-man tandem, and if that's what it's going to be, if it's going to just be two, those guys are very valuable. And the last 2 weeks, there hasn't been a lot of touches and a lot of production for Kansas City, but the last 2 weeks, Kansas City's total yardage has been two of the bottom three games since Patrick Mahomes took over as a starter. I don't think that continues. I think they'll be all right. He's aggravated his ankle in both of those games. Assuming that he can at least stay healthy and not re-aggravate the injury every single week, I think their total yardage bounces back. That's good for the running backs overall. I think both of these guys can be starters, and I think both of them are buy lows right now.
Boy, I'd have a tough time starting a guy who just had two touches, though, and Damian Williams. I think I have to. But where do you have them ranked, Heath, McCoy and Damian Williams?
I do not want to start a Chiefs running back, but McCoy would be my favorite. But that, again, there's probably some confirmation bias here on my part, because I was saying going into last week, LeSean McCoy has been very good when they've given him rush attempts, averaging 5.5 yards per carry. Damian Williams has been mostly terrible. They should give more to LeSean McCoy. They gave him only 8. Again, he averaged 5.5 yards per carry. And Damian Williams basically disappeared from the running game. I mean, he had, what, 2 touches in that
game?
2 touches.
13 touches for the running backs combined. I mean,
yeah,
a weird game.
Yeah, 10 of them went to McCoy. And
right.
So far this season, and it's a very small sample size, but Damian Williams' only success in the NFL is a very small sample size.
Yeah.
So far this season, LeSean McCoy has been much more productive than Damian Williams with touches. Over their careers, LeSean McCoy has been a much better running back than Damian Williams. I just have to presume LeSean McCoy is going to get the majority of the work.
So how would you rank all of the running backs in this game?
Lindsay, Freeman, McCoy, Damian, Darrell.
Lindsay should be started in most leagues. I mean, you're going to.
I would start both Denver running backs with confidence.
Both Denver running backs. So,
confidence.
When you look at the last 3 weeks against the Chiefs, we have had 3 straight running backs have more than 20 carries and more than 110 yards. And I think 2 of those 3 scored a touchdown. And we're talking about Carlos Hyde, Marlon Mack, and, I apologize. Who was the other one? Kerryon Johnson, was it? Yeah, I think so. And
so
yeah, he had 26 carries, Kerryon Johnson.
I just mentioned obviously that I would start both Kansas City backs. I actually agree with Heath. I would prefer that at least Lindsay overall. I might take McCoy over Royce Freeman, but I just wanted to chime in to say the reason I'm high on all these backs, Kansas City, third most, I'm always talking about high value touches, third most team high value touches on the season. And the last 2 weeks have been their two lowest weeks because the offense has struggled. Denver is the fourth most team high value touches. The only teams ahead of them are New England, which is to be expected, and the Chargers, again, to be expected. They throw to their backs a ton. They rack up a lot of receptions. But the Chiefs and Broncos, they're committees, but there's so many high value touches in these committees. Even if McCoy gets a lot of the work, Damian Williams can still score like he did last week on few touches if he's getting receptions and if he's getting goal line scoring opportunities.
All right, just to sum it up, Damian Williams for Dave, Jamie, and Heath is outside the top 30 in non-PPR, outside the top 24 in PPR. LeSean McCoy is outside the top 24, I think, in PPR. And let me just see where he is. 31, 29, and 27. So they're both flexes. And then Lindsay and Royce Freeman are worth looking at here. Lindsay for sure. Royce Freeman, if he gets 12 carries, certainly got a good chance to get 60 rushing yards, and then he just hasn't scored a touchdown. He doesn't get any carries near the goal line. So he might have to break one, but still a good flex this week. Would you start Frank Gore over, not over Lindsay, but would you start Frank Gore over the other guys?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't start him over any of the backs in this game.
Oh, against the Dolphins?
Definitely start him over both Chiefs. I would start him over Royce Freeman in non-PPR. In PPR, I'd prefer Freeman. I think, like, I view Gore as having a floor pretty close to 10, and I think that's what Freeman's floor is. The floor for McCoy and Williams is almost zero.
So this is just another philosophical thing, but 10 points doesn't win you your week. The difference between 12 points, which we think is like a fine game, and like 7 or 5 points doesn't lose you your week if you don't get those points.
Yes, it certainly can.
No, it does. I mean, it certainly can. But it's not the difference. If you have difference in who wins your fantasy matchups, if you go back and look, go look at all your matchups, all your leagues throughout the season. It's who has the most 20, 25, 30-point games in their lineup. It's not – you can have a whole roster of 10 to 15
I don't think
games.
Damian Williams is getting 20 points here. I mean, I think Frank Gore has a good chance to get you 70 yards and a touchdown.
Frank Gore's last time he hit 20 points, 2016.
He's not going to hit 20 points.
That's my point.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I get it. You're all about – you're the upside guy. You love the magenta zone,
like,
for sure.
But zeros do lose you weeks.
Right.
Twos lose your weeks.
So who's going to get a zero here?
Could be Damian Williams.
I'm not saying for sure that McCoy or Williams, like, I don't know. I don't know what the touches are. If you told me Darrell Williams got 12 touches in this game and led all the Chiefs backs, I wouldn't be that surprised.
Sure.
All right, wrapping up here, let's talk about the wide receivers. You're going to start Tyreek Hill, but he does not have a good history against the Broncos. And you know, it's what I said about Keenan Allen. I got yelled at for that, but of course I'm starting Tyreek Hill. Sammy Watkins, Emmanuel Sanders, Cortland Sutton. How would you rank those three?
Sutton's way ahead of the other two.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs, here's the MO on the Chiefs. Their defense, their pass defense is not bad at home. It's terrible on the road. They give up a ton of production to wide receivers on the road. And it makes me wonder about Emmanuel Sanders. I think you guys have him in the 30s. I know he's hard to trust right now. He's had less than 10 yards in 3 of his last 4 games. He has a knee injury. Would you start Emmanuel Sanders or a Chiefs running back?
Oof. I would start a Chiefs running back.
I would start a Chiefs running back in non-PPR and probably Sanders in PPR.
All right.
It's really close, though. And I do prefer Sanders to Watkins.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. Start Kelsey, sit Fant, and the Broncos DST, a borderline starter. Not for Heath. I think you have them pretty low, right? Broncos?
Wait, why are we sitting Fant if you have bad tight ends? Because I'm actually going to start him in a couple leagues. So do you have some good stats on that?
Well, he had a great matchup last week
and didn't do anything. Yeah.
Has he done anything? Like, he scored a touchdown this year, but he doesn't have 40 yards in a game yet.
No.
But the Broncos don't throw a ton. I think they might have to throw a little more, and he's running routes on like 70% of dropbacks consistently. So I think there's a little bit of appeal because Kansas City's bad.
I've got him 15th, so I don't hate
there. It. Yeah. Okay. I mean, this is like a league where I have to play a guy off waivers.
Sure. Yeah. I get you. All right. Listen, You can start Noah Fant all you want, but if you're not downloading the Honey browser extension, you are making a big mistake because you're going to save a lot of money. I shop online like everybody else, and I save money when I use Honey. So here's what you do. I didn't realize the awesome rhyme I just made. You go to joinhoney.com/FFT. Joinhoney.com/FFT. In just a couple of clicks, it installs on your computer. It's free. And then you go and you shop online, and Honey says, hey, there's a coupon code you could be using. It saves you time and money when you shop online by scanning the internet for codes and other discounts. And then like magic, it automatically applies the one with the biggest savings to your cart at checkout. So, I mean, we're talking about Amazon, Macy's, J.Crew, Domino's, Sephora, Target, and more. There's coupon codes, sales discounts at over 20,000 sites. It's not that I use it. It's like, oh, I don't go on and say, oh, I'm going to use Honey now. I go shopping, and then Honey just says, hey, guess what? We got a discount for you. It's so, so easy, and it has saved me a lot of money. So go to joinhoney.com/FFT. Two clicks. Put it on your computer. It is free. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/FFT. From Apple Podcasts, here are the questions. From Low in the Cut, I'm struggling between Carson Wentz at Dallas and Josh Allen against Miami. Heath, who do you have?
Wow.
That was a good one. All right. I'm going to have a new remix soon. Josh Allen or Carson Wentz?
I'm going Allen. Yuck.
Okay.
I'm going Allen.
From Jess B. Ben, what are your thoughts on this trade? Give up Travis Kelce. Get Beckham, McCoy, Greg Olsen, and Hockenson.
What? I mean, there's so much more context needed. If it's a shallow league, you don't necessarily want to give up elite players for four guys back, but I still think that's plenty of value for Kelce. I think OBJ and who, like
McCoy, Olsen, Hockenson.
Right. There's plenty of value there to get to make up for losing Kelce. It's just a matter of like, did you actually have people to drop, or are you having to drop good players as well to make room for all these players?
Yeah, I think it's a trade worth making. From AJ, Heath, in non-PPR, would you trade Golden Tate for James White? What about Ronald Jones and Curtis Samuel for James White in non-PPR?
I would not trade Ronald Jones and Curtis Samuel for James White in non-PPR.
What about Golden Tate? Would you trade Tate for White?
I don't think I would.
Okay. Yeah, White hasn't been very valuable in non-PPR. From Roe Ark, give up Julio Jones and Leonard Fournette. Give Kerryon Johnson. Okay, you're giving. Let's start over. Ben, you're giving Kerryon Johnson, Tyler Lockett, and Hooper. You're getting Julio Jones and Leonard Fournette.
Say that again.
Give up Kerryon Johnson, Tyler Lockett, and Austin Hooper. Get Julio Jones and Leonard Fournette.
I think you get the most valuable receiver and the most valuable running back out of that trade. And, you know, I have already said on the show, I don't think Hooper is an elite tight end, so I would make those swaps.
And we're going to finish the show with a quick, fun round of fill in the blank. From Brock, AJ Green is a top blank wide receiver rest of season.
40? 50?
35.
Okay, what about when he's healthy?
No. 30.
25.
Yeah.
From Jake, Melvin Gordon is a top blank running back rest of season.
24.
Barely.
From Eric, I traded Tyreek Hill for Devontae Adams in PPR Dynasty. I am blank at fantasy. I gave up Hill for Adams in PPR Dynasty. I am blank at fantasy.
Good.
Cautious.
Yeah.
What did you say? Cautious? That was good.
You're good. I think you're good at fantasy. John James Wilkins says Adam is a blank.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah. I couldn't think of anything. My mind was blank.
Oh, man. That's good. From Brun, Hopkins for Mahomes is blank.
Bad.
Bad.
Irod says John Brown is blank.
A wide receiver won this week.
Meh.
From Zachary, Austin Eckler is better than blank and worse than blank rest of season.
He's the better version of Chase Edmonds and the worst version of Alvin Kamara.
Oh, come on. That's too easy.
It's a huge range. But they're similar play. I mean,
Austin Eckler is better than he's worse than Philip Lindsay rest of season. And he's better than Miles Sanders.
Yeah, that's good.
I think.
I agree with those.
That's another big range, though.
Yeah.
Better than...
I don't even know how to...
Austin Eckler is worse than Tevin Coleman rest of season.
Okay.
Better than Carlos Hyde.
From Brent, at Lord Reeves is a blank fantasy football analyst.
Goat.
I can accept that.
Known.
Yes. And I will say he is a now known to me fantasy football analyst.
That's great.
From Fantasy Football Opinions, blank is the wide receiver to own in Tennessee with the quarterback change.
Do the Volunteers have any good wide receivers?
Maybe Adam Humphries?
AJ Brown.
By the way, Ryan Tannehill is like definitely a better passer than Marcus Mariota. From Sam, zero.
AJ Brown is definitely
Ben, do you agree with that?
I don't know if I agree with that. I really don't. I think it's the offense a little bit.
I agree with it. From Sam, zero RB strategy has been blank so far.
Fine.
Frustrating.
God awful, destroying all of my seasons.
No, I don't think it's been that. Like, I have some very bad zero running back teams. It has failed in many ways, depending on the wide receivers and running backs you've chosen. But I also have a zero running back team that this week I'm going to be trying to decide between like five guys in my top 20, and I didn't take a running back in the first six rounds.
That's wonderful. So, I think the problem with zero RB has actually been the wide receivers.
Well, yeah, and this is a big reason in the preseason we talked. I mean, I know I talked a lot about doing like a modified zero running back where you can still take running backs in the first and second round, but then you don't take running backs in the dead zone that we talked about, right? The three to five range. It's tough right now because none of the elite receivers are hitting.
That's the thing.
But your team's not awful because the dead zone has been bad for running backs too.
All right, we got to get out of here. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow with the AFC home games. And that's it. I'm done. Goodbye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.